The readings begin at Luke chapter 22, verse 66, which is on page 1059 in the Church Bible. Luke 22, verse 66. At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. "If you are the Christ," they said, "tell us." Jesus answered, "If I tell you, you'll not believe me, and if I asked you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God." They all asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He replied, "You're right in saying I am." Then they said, "Why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips." Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Christ, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he heard that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time.
When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform some miracle. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." With one voice, they cried out, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder. Then the one they had asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will.
As they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women, who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore, and the breast that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?"
Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine and vinegar and said, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what happened, praised God and said, "Surely this man was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things.
Romans chapter 8, verse 31 to 39. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger of sword? As it is written, "For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
I'd ask you please to pick up your Bible again and open it at Romans 8, and especially verses 33 to 34. You'll find that on page 1135 in the Church Bible. And let's bow our heads and ask for God's help, shall we? Almighty God, our Father in heaven, whether we have been at many Good Friday services or whether this is the first one we've ever been to, our prayer is the same. Please teach us the meaning of the death of Jesus Christ, and may that meaning change our lives. Please grant us quietness and the ability to hear and understand for Jesus' sake. Amen. Have you ever had that sinking feeling? That nagging fear that something you did is going to come back and bite you. Last summer, middle Sunday of our 2 weeks away, a wet and windy day on a Suffolk country road, I drove round a bend, and there was a police car with a policeman and a speed camera. What speed am I doing? 34 miles an hour. What is the speed limit? I know it was 40 miles an hour. There was a sign. Was there another sign? Did I miss it? I drove on. But for the rest of our holiday, I had that nagging fear that a charge for speeding would come through the post. And it did. There is sufficient evidence to take proceedings against you for this offence, which carries a penalty of £100 and 3 penalty points on your driving licence. Now, I could come up with lots of excuses. I have to tell you, I felt a bit sorry for myself. I wanted my wife's sympathy. But the reality is that I was guilty as charged. Now, how I felt last summer, anticipating the possibility of that charge coming through the letterbox, is actually how we each as human beings should naturally feel about the day of judgment that we will all face. That day when the books will be opened, the record books, revealing not our speeding offences, but actually more seriously our offences against God and his good rule over our lives. On that day, no offense will be missing. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Now, how do you feel about that day when you will stand before God in his courtroom? Do you in any way have that sinking feeling? The message of Good Friday, explained by Romans 8, 33 to 34, is that every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ who died that day can say this: because of Easter, all charges are covered. Believers can be confident that on that day, there will be no condemnation for them. Look again at Romans 8, 33 to 34. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. Would you use your imagination? Come back in your mind to those events that we read in Luke 23. The Lord Jesus stood in the courtroom of Pilate, the Roman governor. His accusers were there, the elders who made up the Jewish ruling council, and their accusations, well, there were three of them. First, he was subverting the nation. In other words, he was undermining the good of the nation. Second, they said he opposes payment of taxes to Caesar. Third, he said he claims to be Christ, a king. And therefore, they said, because of these things, you, Pilate, should condemn him to death. Pilate, the judge, examined Jesus. What did he find? He found no case to answer. Did you notice? Three times Pilate said, I find no basis for a charge against this man. I've examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. He has done nothing to deserve death. I have found in him no ground for the death penalty. Says Pilate, Jesus is not guilty. What's a judge's role? A judge's role is to dispense justice. That means he's supposed to do what is right. What did justice demand should happen to Jesus as he stood before Pilate's court? Justice demanded that he should be set free. There was no case to answer. In contrast, in your imagination, think about this man Luke tells us about called Barabbas. By implication, Barabbas has already appeared before Pilate's court. Twice, I'm pretty sure it's for emphasis, Luke tells us that Barabbas had been thrown into prison for insurrection, that's rebellion against authority, and for murder, serious crimes. Charges had been brought, they'd been investigated, due process followed, the verdict pronounced, most likely by Pilate as the judge, you're a condemned man. And he's thrown into a prison cell. And that word thrown has the idea of basically being treated as the worst of the worst. It's a rough word. And I think by implication, that third cross being prepared for Good Friday, it was meant for Barabbas, this man who had been declared guilty of all the charges against him. And I'm sure that Luke, the gospel writer, intends us to see this great contrast between Jesus and Barabbas. What did justice demand for Barabbas? Condemnation, punishment, execution. But you know the story, don't you? That day, Pilate, this Roman judge, presided over an act of gross injustice. The innocent prisoner, Jesus, was sent to be executed, while the guilty prisoner, Barabbas, he went scot-free. The not guilty prisoner, he was substituted for the guilty prisoner. The not guilty prisoner was treated as the guilty prisoner, and the guilty prisoner was treated as the not guilty prisoner. And this is where, on this day, believers in Jesus must bow before him in humble and grateful awe. Because that miscarriage of justice was always part of God's plan, his merciful, his gracious plan to satisfy his justice for every believer in Jesus. Through the injustice of Good Friday, God was acting to satisfy his justice. So that on that day of judgment, he will say to all who believe in his Son, all charges are covered. You are free from eternal condemnation. Can I ask you to be very honest this morning? As I stand before God and anticipate the day of judgment, I am a Barabbas, that rebel and murderer. The record of my life is a record of offenses against God and man. I've rebelled against God's rule. Do you know, even my speeding offense was ultimately a rebellion against God, because the Bible says I should obey the laws of our country. But that's pretty minor when I think of all the other terrible things I've done. I've known the good I ought to do and I've not done it. I've known the evil I ought not to do and I've done that. And I've certainly not treated others as I ought. Oh, I've not murdered anyone, but by my words, my actions, my inactions, I've not loved my neighbor as myself. And it wouldn't take much to find ample evidence which would make it clear that I stand guilty. Do you know, I was in our loft this week and I found a box and it's got my diaries in it since 1981. That's an awful long time, isn't it? Now, I don't write down tons in my diary, but I tend to write something every day. And I picked a few up and started looking through it, and the number of embarrassing moments in them was huge. And I mean embarrassing in the sense of shameful, things where I wrote in my diary, I'd done something which I knew to be wrong, and I was confessing it to God. And eternal condemnation is what I deserve. The Bible says it's what we all deserve. That's the message of Good Friday, because if that wasn't true, Jesus didn't need to die. But because of Good Friday, because of Easter, believers can say all charges are covered. And Romans 8, 33, 34 gives the reason. Very briefly, all charges are covered. God has chosen to justify us. Look again at verse 33. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Now, Paul isn't saying that there are no grounds for accusing us. I have sinned, I do sin, I will sin every day until I die. But the sense here is that no charge can land successfully against me because of what God has done for me at the cross. The word justified, it's the opposite of condemned. Both words are words of declaration by a judge. A condemned man is a man pronounced guilty and therefore sent for punishment. A justified man is the man who's declared not guilty and therefore isn't heading for punishment. In this verse, verse 33, believers in Jesus are described as those whom God has chosen. It's not the only place they're described like this in the Bible. It comes again and again and again. Now, I know for some of us, it makes us feel uncomfortable, but it's important because it reveals that no man on earth would ever have chosen God if God had not first chosen him. The audacity and horror and ingratitude of our human rebellion means that it's amazing that God should choose to justify anyone. And it underlines the fact that none of us are able to justify ourselves. None of us by ourselves can take away our guilt because of our crimes against God. It's all God's work. It is God who justifies. It's an act of God. And he accomplished it through the death of his son. And so earlier on in this book of Romans, we read, God is the one in the sense of the only one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. And Christians are those who can say we have been justified through faith. You see, sometimes people come to me and they say, well, I'm worried, Johnny. Am I someone who's been chosen? According to the Bible, the evidence of whether or not someone's been chosen is their faith in the Lord Jesus and his work on the cross and in nothing else. That faith that says, I am a Barabbas. By nature and by life, I deserve to be declared guilty. I'm worthy of condemnation in hell forever. But my faith is in Jesus. My faith is in the innocent one who died in the place of me, the guilty one, who took upon himself the condemnation that I deserve for my sin, so that then I might be treated as he should be treated, that I might be treated as an innocent one. Can I ask you this morning, are you a believer in Jesus? Good Friday declares to you, if you are, you have been justified. That is your new position. Not because you've earned it, but because all the charges against you, and can I stress, every single one of them was laid upon Jesus. As he suffered, he took upon himself the just punishment every single one of your sins deserves. And why do you need to know that? Because we have an enemy, the devil. And what the devil loves to do is he loves to accuse. He delights in reminding us of our past sins. And when we do sin, he loves to suggest, look, that's a sin too far. Oh, that's really going too far this time. I think you've put your eternal position before God at stake. You better start worrying about that day of judgment. That's the suggestion the devil would make to the believer. But because of Easter, the believer can say, listen, Mr. Devil, God has chosen to justify me, so what you say is a lie. Oh, yes, Mr. Devil, I know I'm unworthy. I know I'm sinful. In fact, no one knows how evil I am apart from God. But God, in his love, has justified me through the death of his Son. I don't rely on myself. I'm relying only and utterly on Jesus. And as a believer, because of what Jesus did, I can say, with every other believer, all charges are covered. God has chosen to justify us. And, oops, there we go. Jesus who died and rose is in heaven for us. Just look how the verse continues. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. We are being told that for the believer in Jesus, condemnation is impossible because Jesus died to satisfy God's justice. And then you see that little phrase, more than that? Jesus not only died, he was raised to life. The resurrection of Jesus is the declaration by God that his justice has been satisfied. Can I warn you of a little danger at Easter? In some churches, I understand, they say, well, you can only talk about the cross on Good Friday and you mustn't talk about the resurrection till Easter Sunday. Now, that's nonsense, can I tell you? Because actually the cross means nothing without the resurrection. The resurrection means nothing without the cross. And the resurrection is the declaration. Look, Jesus did it. He did. What he said he was going to do by dying on the cross, he accomplished it. We can be absolutely certain because he has been raised from the dead. Oh, but there's even more. Look what it says. And where is Jesus now? He's at the right hand of God. He's in heaven for us, the place of highest honor. His work accepted by God the Father. Jesus can now never be moved. His permanent place is there at the throne of the universe. And then look how the verse ends. And he is also interceding for us. That simply means he's speaking to God for us. What is Jesus doing today? Right now in heaven. See, remember, we don't think that Jesus is on the cross today. He isn't on the cross today. He was on it 2,000 years ago. He's not there now. No, where is he now? He's securely in heaven, where he is constantly speaking to God, the Father, on behalf of all of his people, on behalf of all who believe. Now, why is that important? Well, it's important because although we are justified through faith, we still fit sin. And when we sin, we feel guilty. And we should feel guilty for our sin. That's a work of God's grace. But sometimes when we sin, we do wonder, can God really forgive me again? I've committed this same sin so many times. I've blown it in that particular way so many times. Will he really forgive me again? Am I not too bad? To be sure of no condemnation on the day of judgment? Well, where is our confidence? Our confidence is that God the Father is listening to Jesus, his Son. Whenever we sin, Jesus says again to the Father, Father, look at what I did on the cross. Father, look what I accomplished. Look how our justice has been fully satisfied. Look again at the fact that I have paid for that sin. And therefore, Father, you and I and the Holy Spirit, we can forgive that sin. In fact, we must forgive that sin because justice demands it. And let me add, there's no reluctance on the part of God the Father, because it was his plan that his Son should come and die in our place. So as we close, can I ask you to do something? I hope it doesn't make you feel too uncomfortable, but we have to face reality. Can I ask you to think of the worst thing you reckon that you have ever done? Think of the most heinous sin that you could be charged with before God on Judgment Day. It may well be something that no other human being knows. It's only known by you in your conscience and Almighty God. Now, as you think about that, do you ever have that nagging fear that it will be undoing? Your undoing on the day of judgment? Romans 8, 33 and 34 says to us, if we are trusting in Jesus, we can be absolutely sure that the punishment for that sin, that very sin you're thinking of, it was laid on him. And as a result, when God looks at you, he says, not guilty. Because Jesus took that punishment, you are therefore no longer under any condemnation. That's why, by the way, in 1 John 1 verse 9 it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. In other words, it's right. And purify us from all unrighteousness. So a last question. Do we need to be miserable on Good Friday? It's right we should mourn over our sin, but we are to do so with faith. To use a phrase used elsewhere in the Bible, on this day, we do not grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We grieve over our sin, but with the confidence that for those who are in Christ, there is no condemnation. And if you're not yet a believer, what better day to become a believer than today? Cry out to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a Barabbas, but you died for Barabbases. Lord Jesus, I trust you. I trust you. Please forgive me that I might be one who knows there's no condemnation because all charges are.